Hey there, ho there, hi there. It's me. We're back for the final episode of 2024. As is tradition, we're going to do our top five anime of the year. Some of them we have in common, some of them we don't. We are going to tackle honorable mentions, so if you know there are some exclusions, we will at least give them a shout out. We are formally going to do favorite intros and outros, OPs and EDs of the year as well. And the big major change that I think we're doing this year that we haven't done in years past is we're going to cover live action shows as well, or at least favorite live action of the year. So that could be a movie, it could be a TV show, maybe some honorable mentions in there too. But we haven't really covered live action in a formal way for the year-end podcast. So we are doing that this time. And then finally, most anticipated of 2025. We have so much to look forward to in 2025, both just as the podcast continues to grow, and now that we're on video, that is accelerating, and that's very exciting. Thanks for sticking around for that and watching us improve every week. It's been very, very gratifying. But yeah, there's tons of content that we're looking forward to covering in 2025. It looks like it's going to be a pretty jam-packed year. So we're very excited for that. We're very excited that you're still listening and now watching. Pretty wild times all over the place. Thank you so much. Enjoy the show. Grant, here with that music. Well, you probably already have. Enjoy. Oh, hey there, Grant.
Hey, Dave.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, I'm good.
We're here. We made it. End of the year. We made it.
A year in. Or another year, apparently.
Yeah. Last part of the year, heading to 2025. We've done this for the last few, I think.
I think, yeah, 2, 3, and 4.
2, 3, and 4 we've done.
I think so, yeah.
God, we really are a COVID podcast, aren't we? I mean, we've hopefully shed that label at this point, but
sure.
You know what would be interesting would be to see, because like you know, like a lot of things took off in COVID, like crochet and people making sourdough bread, and white guys starting podcasts. I would be interested to see like just the like the half life and like the staying power that a lot of these hobbies and podcasts have made. Like if. Let's just say arbitrarily, like 10,000 podcasts were started in COVID. How many of 100 plus episodes? And have years in review and Spotify Wrapped? You know, I don't know. Just, I think we're doing okay. We stuck
I think
with
so.
It.
I'm still enjoying it.
We are, yeah. So
people are listening and we're still enjoying it. So,
yes.
Yeah.
It's a success by those two metrics. So I think the format's pretty similar this year compared to what we've done in the past. Maybe a couple. Maybe one or two notable changes.
Sure.
Like we're going to mention a live action thing or two directly this year.
Wonder if Last Night's movie made in your top live action movies.
Yeah, I mean, actually, yeah. Well, because for live action, I was like, oh, is it shows? Is it movies? But we'll get to that when we get to that.
Yeah.
We'll live action is a big enough category that it's kind of all-encompassing because anime first, right? But how do you want to do this? You want to go back and forth and start from number five?
We'll do back and forth. I guess if I don't know. I'm actually pretty confident, with the exception of one, we might have pretty different top fives this year.
I think we definitely do. Yeah.
So I think there's the pretty obvious one, the most recent one that I'm assuming is on both of our lists. So that is my number five. So you know we can do the Dan to Dan conversation now, or we can wait if it's higher for you.
So Dan to Dan, you're saying, is your number five of the year.
It's my number five, yeah.
So for me, it's higher up on the list.
Okay.
So let's wait, and then we'll do it. So I'll give you my number five, which I'm confident you probably don't have in your list, and that's Dragon Ball Daima.
Oh, imagine last night I got home, I watched all the Daima.
I mean, dude, you've done shit like that. I wouldn't put it past you.
Yeah, no, it's not, unfortunately.
But I think, I was telling Bronson last night about it, because I think he's watching too, and I was talking about how you and I have this like soft spot for Saturday morning cartoons, and like a lot of the time that's My Hero Academia. What else have we talked about that's like Saturday morning? There's other shows
Elusive Samurai, I think, was like that.
Yeah.
I remember Zom 100 last year was similar, was in that boat. Shangri-La Frontier is a Saturday show, or it's a Sunday show, but same idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what it is about... that's not true. I can say what it is. With Dragon Ball Daima, I think it's like, it's very... For number one, it's limited. There's 11 or 12 episodes in total out. But that's still a large enough sample size. Like,
That is a regular season consumption.
You just mentioned Dandadan, right? That's 12 episodes. So we've got a good chunk of it now, and I think between the fact that it actually looks good, it's relatively new and creative as far as Dragon Ball goes, and it just gives you an excuse to watch Dragon Ball content.
Mm-hmm.
I like all of these things. I am not like the most intense diehard Dragon Ball guy on the planet, but like I know enough about basically all of their animated properties to look at it and be like, yeah, like this is new, it's different. I don't really care if it like fucks up the canon or retcons things, because also one thing Dragon Ball fans have to remember is like, if you're bitching about like a timeline messing things up or retcons happening, like I promise you, they have retconned something in every series they've ever made. Like, you can't be too precious about it, you know what I mean? And you know, Toriyama made it and all that, or worked on it. So yeah, number five, because I look forward to watching it every weekend since it's been on.
Do you, again, like, obviously I'm not watching it, but like, do you get at this point, do you feel that there is like a bigger life to it, or is this going to be like, hey, like, again, it's so hard with Dragon Ball because, you know, they've been kind of upending themselves like with every new series they do. Do you feel like this is going to have like a lasting legacy at this point, or is it kind of just like, oh, it was a fun little stop along the way before the next thing?
I remember you asked me something similar about that, and I sincerely don't know, like, because this could actually prove to be an effective, and I would vote, if I had a vote, I'd prefer them to go this way, where they tell a nice, short and sweet 20 to 30 episode series, and it's, like, good and succinct. On the flip side, there's probably enough content, and, like, what they've done by, like, changing the rules of the whole show, and creating another alternate reality, and this whole thing is like, I don't know, they could probably do 100 if they wanted, and when you look at what they've done historically, they tend to do 100, you know what I mean?
So
it could go longer. I think it's moving at a decent pace that I just, given the current story, I just don't think there's enough content, but they could easily pull shit out of their ass, right? They always do, so
yeah,
I don't know, but if I had a vote, like, they're actually doing something kind of creative and exciting, you know, don't overdo it. Like, don't get greedy. Like, let's just finish up this, like, really fun story, and it will be remembered well as, like, they did a really cool, fun arc that was creative and switched the whole genre around, and I don't know. I think that could be fun.
And call it, you know, morbid or whatever, but, like, at the end of the day, it's going to be known as, like, the last thing Toriyama worked on, right? So it's always going to have that thumbprint on it. So if it's good, it's just going to be, like, a significant piece of the history forever, right? Agreed. So it's, you know, it's always going to be a talking point and amongst other things. But, yeah, I don't know. That's awesome, man. Maybe one day, I don't know, we'll see. But
no pressure.
We'll see. Okay, so my number four is a Netflix joint, Delicious in Dungeon.
Oh, that's my number one. We can't talk about it.
Can you imagine? Yeah, you know, it's funny. I think this is a perfect example of, like, sometimes, like, time and place, something doesn't work for you. It doesn't hurt to go back because, you know, we had discussed it when it came out. Actually, almost to a year it's been out.
Mm-hmm.
I bounced off this immediately, first episode. I was like, not what I thought it was going to be. I was anticipating it. I was looking forward to it. And for whatever reason, I bounced off. And I was off sick for a period. I was like, I need something to watch. And I jumped back in. Am I ever glad I did? Because, you know, when I finish it and, like, in review looking back, I have no idea what I bounced off. It just must have been how I was feeling at the time or whatever. Like, so, like, the importance of, like, giving something another shot.
Yeah.
But no, this is a really cool show. It's, I think, you know, anime itself is so creative. And there's lots of shows on my top five, and I'm sure your top five too, where, you know, there's creativity in the animation style and kind of, you know, just what they can do new with the medium. But this show is different in, like, the way it takes a common trope, like the high fantasy down in the dungeon, you know, like they got the warrior, the rogue, the wizard, you know, and then they kind of have this whole conceit of, like, the cooking and, like, taking apart the monsters and surviving, you know, they're struggling to get through. So they can't afford food. They can't do this. And they're killing the monsters. They're making these recipes. It's just the creativity in every aspect of every episode. There's always a little diorama, like, to each monster and what they create. And just, like, you're like, oh, my God, of course they made, like, you know, barbecue back ribs there, you know, with this or whatever. And, like, you know, cooked eggs, and they make bread and pizza, essentially. Like, it's just such a creative show. And but the nice, like, the really cool thing about it is, you know, it's similar to Freeman, where like there is like a lightness to it, but there is dread. It's like a very real show, Freeman, and Delicious in the Dungeon is no different. There is insane stakes, and like there's a couple of really good turning points in the 24 episodes where you very much think like, yeah, like someone can get hurt, someone can get killed. There's probably some plot armor involved, and then they kind of just like almost at like a middle point, you know, like a kind of like a mid-season break where it's like, oh no, like no one is safe, like truly no one is safe, like you know, if you know, the if you can't afford like a resurrection spell, or if there's no priest nearby and they can't collect the bones, like it can be over for somebody. I don't know, it's just one of those shows that, you know, like there is like there's such a warmth, there's such like a, you know, I used dread earlier and I'll say it again, like you're just like sitting at the end of an episode of like, oh, I bet you no one feels good right now. Like, right. You don't feel good as you're watching.
I didn't know it had those kind of tones.
Oh, it's kind of like it kind of lures you in for the first 12 episodes, and then it hits you like substantially, like right at the, you know, the midpoint, and then you kind of get this little arc within the season of, are they going to get out, or, you know, like there's a small spoiler, but there's this one scene where they're fighting like a water spirit, and like they're pinned in the corner, and it turns into like, almost like a World War II sniper movie, where like they're pinned down, like the bell tower's on them at all times, and like how are they going to creatively get out of here, and you know, they get into like, you know, the boiling points of water, what they can do to affect the water to distract it, and it's just, again, like one of the most creative shows, just based on like it took one conceit of cooking and it just elaborated into this whole big grand adventure, and they set up a really good cliffhanger for like a second season, which I didn't know was coming. I knew it was established manga and the series is done and whatnot. I didn't know this was getting a full adaptation by Netflix, but their Studio Trigger does it as well, Edgerunners there, but
interesting.
Yeah really, really good show. Pick. I don't even sure, like, would you have counted the second half of Freerun in this year?
No, man, I really did think about it, though. You and I should have maybe talked about that earlier, but, like, because Freerun was pretty high up on both of our lists last year, and I was like, well, we kind of used it last year, but it technically finished in 2024.
Mm-hmm. It was also split even, like, 12 and 12.
Yeah, so I don't know. Do you have Freerun in your top 5 at all?
I don't. Yeah, okay. I think Delicious in Dungeon was kind of my way, and I guess what I'm trying to lead into is, anyone listening, if you haven't given the show a go and you love Freerun, it's not a one-to-one, but it's as close as you're going to get now until we get and you know, something similar.
Vibe City.
There is some Vibe City, but different vibe. It's not like as, you know, as a, you know, just like self-reflective as Freerun is. This is more like it's very different, but this is definitely the funner of the two.
Sure. Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, that's a that's a random one. Okay, I wonder if we could even predict one another's. Like, I feel like we're gonna be all over the map, but this is...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, so this is a recent development. This was not in my top 5 until yesterday when the double header finale aired.
Okay.
Blue Lock. Is my number 4, which is wild. Yeah.
Okay.
I think this is a tricky one, but hear me out, and I'll do my best to justify it here. I was thinking about my list last year, and I think I might have given Jujutsu Kaisen number 1 over like Freerun or something.
For years, I don't remember. Yeah.
I can't remember, but I think back then I remember like justifying it as being like Freerun's to myself at least, being like Freerun's like definitely a better story and probably a better anime.
Sure.
But if we're going off of, and we're not, but like in my mind, I was kind of counting about how I feel about both. And I was like, yeah, but like there was like 8 times when Jujutsu Kaisen aired that I like jumped out of my chair.
There's nothing wrong with a hype show. You know?
Blue Lock has had some like highly publicized animation issues in the first half of season 2. And like that definitely overshadowed a lot of the story. That's for sure. But they did this whole, like, kind of come from behind, like, got this special animator to animate this, like, specific game-ending sequence at the very end of season 2, and it is definitely not perfect, I will say that. Like, I still, even now, have nitpicks about how the story was told and how the whole thing was handled. but I can't pretend that I didn't lose my fucking shit. Because I did.
Yeah.
I yelled into a pillow, a grown man. I don't know who I am. I don't care about soccer. I think it's like the worst sport, but I can't not watch this thing. It's so, so fun. Yeah, I don't know what it is. And like, again, like it's a little up its own ass and it's a little silly, but like I'll be damned if I don't love watching it. Like they produce a lot of really fun hype moments, and like they had a really, really great ending to the second season, and I think there's more in the manga and probably more to come in the anime.
So was there like a quick, like, hey, see you next season, season three now, and something like that?
I don't know if they officially announced season three, but they teased, I think, arcs that are in the future. But what I will say is the end of season two felt like such a completion to the journey that, like, the pilot started that I could never watch it again, and I'd be pretty happy with it.
Okay.
You know, with the... like with the nitpicks of like, you know, the animation quality should have been more consistent, and maybe like the show at moments got a little too I'm 14 and this is deep, but other than that, like, you know, it kind of, it's still just, it's a good sports,
it's Saturday show. Morning, you got, you know, you got a great thing to watch in the morning there, you know. Yeah. Was that a Saturday show for you?
It was a weekend show, and it's funny. Yeah. Though I was talking to Sam yesterday and I was like, you know, we should give Haikyuu another spin. Like, now that this is over, like, I'm going to need something to scratch the itch. And everybody on the planet who's seen Haikyuu loves it. Right?
It's the best. So good.
So, yeah. We zipped through an episode yesterday trying to see if we could remember. But I think we're just going to have to start fresh. But, yeah. So, yeah. Sports Loot Lock number four.
That's awesome.
We got number three.
Number three is... Bleach, The Thousand Year Blood War,
that's
Part 3, The Conflict.
That's dope.
Dave, like, holy fuck. I, you know, they've been doing this whole Thousand Year Blood War project for, you know, this will be the third year now. I think there was a bigger delay between the first and the second part, but last year was Part 2. As a fan of the manga and the story...
This is like the thing airing on Disney, right?
It is airing on Disney, yeah. Thankfully it has subs, which is nice. Not a lot of the shows do right now, but again, Undead Unluck, still no subs. But there's something about what's going on with Bleach right now is we are getting kind of the best of both worlds. We are getting, you know, the continuation of where the previous series left off. Mm-hmm. We get this arc that was never done that, you know, us as readers, not that it was bad, it's probably in my opinion one of the best arcs in the whole series. But there was just like, there was clearly like a crunch. There was like stuff that was missing that got left out between, right, you know, Kubo and Shonen Jump. And he's now like the supervisor of all of this. And he is getting to finish the story he wants it to, or the way he wanted it to originally. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just like a fun little experience of like every week is like, oh, what is new? What is the change to this lore wise? Or we get to see this character's Bankai who we never got to see before. Like it's fan service in the best way.
Right.
You know, like it's, you get the new, you get some of the old, you know, stuff that we never expected, kind of just like restructuring, you know, like a, not like an all history kind of situation, but it's like, it's the structure is like 90% there, but it's just all the little things that they're fitting in. You know, like there's so many shows this year and where week to week, you're just like, you know, you finish that episode. And I think it's like any TV show, right? You're like, oh my God, yeah, I want that next one. But when I finished an episode on Saturday of Bleach, it was like, holy, and I know what's coming, you know, but right, like, it's still the excitement that I felt for this. It's, you know, like, it could have been my number one. It could have been anywhere on my list, but I think right in the middle is perfect because it hit just, you know, the artsy stuff that we like and kind of like the heavy battle shonen stuff that we like.
Yeah.
You know, again, one of its biggest strengths, and it's more akin to My Hero in this way, is it's a insanely diverse and large cast. There's so many juggling, so many pieces moving around, so many voice actors, like fights and like who's here, who's there. Mm. They do such a good job. The choreography and like kind of keeping everyone static is really good. It's my favorite score, like, of any show we watched this year and previous years.
Really?
Like,
I didn't know that was a big
just
thing.
Just like, you know, people always joke and like it's true. Like, there's just such a, like, you know, the, what's the fucking expression there? The drip, you know, like the fashion, it's very fashion forward. And like, there's all the, over the years in the original anime, there's, you know, there's Latin music influences, there's hip hop, there's like crunchy metal, like, you know, kind of fun J-pop. And like, it's just a giant amalgamation of like the different groups and like in a fight and just like the, you know, the original sound designs, like, you know, you've seen it online. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, anytime someone's using a power, it's like that staticky sound. And, you know, it's just like every week you're like, fuck, like, what did someone just say? Because I'm just like vibing out on the couch to, you know, whatever fucking guitar riff they just threw in for no reason. It's like the calmest conversation, and they have like borderline like a doom metal riff, like just like slow and chugging, like, oh, like they're about to throw it down. It's yeah. it's so fun, it's so cool. You know, and then also there's another show up on my list, just the usage of like the OP, like the opening and the closing with the right. the music and how they use the visuals to kind of, you know, the way they'll cut back into like 30 seconds of the song to show like a still of the episode. Or they do this thing in Bleach too. I think they did it in the original anime where the song finishes, the visuals finish, the song starts again, and literally shows like 2 second interval clips of the episode to come, almost like what you're about to see.
Right.
And I normally hate that stuff, but it's so tastefully done of like, oh, this is kind of the tone of what we're going to be getting into. But I don't know, man. Like, it just brings a smile to my face every week. You know, the we got some really cool stuff. I think this has been the most like new stuff so far of the three parts they've done. There's going to be the fourth and final
right
next year. But I fucking love Bleach, dude. I don't know. Just made me feel like a kid again, watching like Pokemon or Digimon. It was just like, this is, you know, it's like, oh, this is the show that I missed out on at that age because I didn't know. We didn't have access to it. We had, you know, like Yu-Gi-Oh and stuff like that. Yeah. But I feel like I'm 16 experiencing when I never did, you know. So right. it's really, really cool.
Feeling like a kid again. It's a weird segue into mine, but I feel like this is something that would have made my world. My number three is something that would have made my world explode when I was like, I don't know, 14 or 15. Yep. And it's still, I still loved it in my 30s. And it's random, but Solo Leveling is my number three.
That was, I had a hard time. It was in my top nine for the year, for sure.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure where to put it.
And it's a weird one because this also got me into like that whole genre to begin with, right? Because mm-hmm. I think you had tried to put me on Shangri-La Frontier.
Yep.
And I didn't really take. And then I think it was so, or maybe Frieren was technically first. And I was like, oh, that's kind of fantasy-ish.
Yeah, Frieren and Shangri-La came out around the same time.
Yeah, so then I was like, oh, well, I don't know. Maybe I'll try more fantasy content from more of like a shonen perspective. And that, like, Solo Leveling is like a pretty, would you say, like, battle shonen, or what would you call it?
Like a power fantasy.
Power
like
fantasy,
a,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think like its pacing is so good. Like,
yeah.
I think that's the thing is like that first season just like moves, and then you've got this wild cliffhanger ending that, but not in like a cheap way. It felt like it gave you a very healthy conclusion to a lot of what was happening in Solo or in season one, but you have a bunch more fun stuff to look forward to in season two.
Mm.
Anyway, it's fun to like find something new and be like, oh my god, I love this. And then that's what put me on to Shangri-La. Mm-hmm. Did I get into anything else in that genre? I can't remember off the top of my head. Mm. But it opened up a whole world of like sure. anime. And then I tried Delicious in Dungeon after that, and like I had closed myself off to a lot of fantasy type stuff in general in the anime world. A lot of it just didn't hit for me.
Mm.
And it felt like that like blew the doors open. I was like, oh, like I've been missing out a little bit. And also just seeing the reception, like people loved Solo Leveling was everywhere when
it still is everywhere. Like, you know, I felt like there hasn't been a show in recent history where the second, you know, anytime like a show, like a second season announced, it's usually pretty quiet. And then it gets popped up every 3 months or 4 months, or like it's leading up to it. Like, oh, it's imminent. Like it's you know, 2 months away. I fucking heard about season two of Solo Leveling every other week from last January to now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Or, you know, March, whenever it ended, but they're pushing it everywhere. The ads, the mobile game, like it's there. I watched the fucking Game Awards 2 weeks ago and I had Endgame spoiled for me. Like they showed what he's going to look like at some point against one of the big bads. And I was like, why are they doing this? Like they're just, it's en masse everywhere. It's kind of interesting to see.
It is weird. It's also such a, and I mean this in like a, not an insulting way, but it's such a simple show. Like, there's nothing all that...
It's Final Fantasy.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's funny, right? Because we're talking about, like, I don't know, Frieren and other shows where you kind of have to dig sometimes. Okay, wait, what's going on here? These feelings are complex. Some of the plots are complex. Like, what's really going on? So it was, like, very straight up. Like, what if weak boy becomes strong? And, like, so much of anime is about that.
Unga Bunga Smash.
Yeah.
Like, but it's very caveman.
The execution is so good. The world building, the fact that it happens in this whole fantasy setup is good. I don't know. I had so much fun watching that thing.
It really, you know, we're men in our 30s. We can be a little critical of, like, of some things, right?
Oh, yeah.
And for the longest time, and not necessarily so lovely.
See all of our My Hero Academia coverage.
Yeah. More coming. But if we had a news segment, I had a really good doubleheader for you.
I swear to God,
if
that's in my top five. No. I'll stop this car right now.
No, it just, there was something about, like, the gamifying in an anime that it turned me off completely.
Right.
And Shangri-La Frontier, again, you can call it hypocritical, but there's something that, like, oh, it's in the game, that's the features, it's like an MMO thing. But, like, there's been other, like, I can't name them off the top of my head, but I know there are other stuff in the shows in the genre similar to Solo Leveling where it's, like, in our world, I have, powers and this and that. There's just something about the way they did it in Solo Leveling, and maybe I'm not versed enough in the genre or the subgenre to, like, know of other examples that have done it or better. But it was just something like, okay, this actually made me need to, like, ease up a little bit. Like, just see this play out. And it was awesome. You know,
it worked very well. I don't know why it worked, and a lot of shows do similar shit, and it doesn't work. You're right. But, for some reason, it worked out for them.
Great music, too. Great intro. Like, that was, you know, Kren and I in the car rides. Pretty much our playlist is just the OP and EDs from the year so far. So the playlist continually grows.
My category is going to be a little light compared to yours. But I forgot you're a monster, and you know, listening to everything. But
that song comes on, and it
slaps.
It was a race to see who could hit the friggin', like, the knob first. Like, crank that. I was like, it's so good. And then the bass part comes at one point. It's so good. And the ending song, too, I really like. But, Solo Leveling is a awesome, awesome, awesome show.
What's your number two?
My number two is Oshinoko Season 2.
Knew it.
This was my number one last year.
So now I'm not sure what your number one's going to be. But anyway, keep going.
I think you'll be surprised by my number one, genuinely. Again, it at number two is nothing to speak on the quality of the show. There was something about my number one that really spoke to me this year. Oshinoko, it's a really good continuation. It's a handoff from one to the other. They really set up. They did a good job in the finale of season one that, like, you know, a couple of the characters, because, like, they're at the point where they are actors and teenage actors and whatnot, and they've been cast in this 2.5D stage play.
Okay.
And that's good. So that was going to be, like, the conceit of, like, season two.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't read the manga. I was kind of like, oh, okay, like, what are we getting into? The fucking power of animation, Dave. They open up this season or maybe two episodes in, where you get, like, a preview of how, like, the premiere starts, and like, they have you sitting in the crowd as a member. The way the camera shot, it felt very, very real, like, very, very immersive. And they do a good way of explaining how the stage moves and, like, how they introduce all the cast of the characters. Like, they're all, it just a world that, and in a way that, like, you know, I have no idea how the inner workings of the music industry in Japan works, and the acting and the play, like, they really kind of are getting into a new layer, just like another type of, like, you know, media that is popular over there. Genius stuff. But, you know, it was just more of the great stuff. Like, the murder mystery part of the story kind of took a bit of a back burner, and that was there was some complaints with some fans. It didn't bother me too much, because I was just so enthralled with the effort they were putting into. They dedicated parts of the season to the writer of the original manga, who was super opposed to, like, this play being done.
Oh.
And there was, like, an episode and a half dedicated to her saying, like, yeah, the guy that wrote it is a fucking bum. Like, he does not know how to write, and they show, like, the effort that goes and the type of writing you have to be able to make a play versus, like, a manga.
Right, very different.
Like, just the levels and the layers that they get into. And again, the animation was, you know, again, amazing as before, but, like, the 2-3 episodes they take for the opening night premiere. They do like the whole play essentially. Yeah. The best visuals I've seen all year.
Oh,
like,
really?
Oh my, it's explosive, and like they do, and like they don't like just turn it into like, it's not like we're seeing the world of the characters fighting. It's almost like a samurai, almost like a la Demon Slayer a bit, is kind of like the stage play they're doing.
Yeah.
And they all have these powerful swords, there's unique powers to the swords, and like they don't just like turn it into like Demon Slayer. Like you're seeing the world. You see them doing the practical effects to make the swords look like this, and like the sparks and this and that. Like it, right. you are watching a play. And I've just never seen anything done like that. Completely caught me off guard. I think 3 weeks in a row, I watched each episode like twice each night.
Yeah.
It aired. I was like, I have to watch that again. That was incredible. And you know, so yeah, the actual, like the contents of what happens is just, you know, more and more of the same, but again, the same executing at the high quality. A couple little gripes, because like, you know, there was one of the main characters completely got sidelined, and I was like, oh, that's so weird. Like, you know, it must be a part of like the manga as well. And then they kind of teed up like, oh, that's, they're going to be more focused in the third season, which got announced immediately after the finale. But sure. The only bad thing, and it doesn't affect my kind of, you know, take on it, is the manga ended a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Across the board, critically panned.
Panned as in
awful. Everyone hates it.
Oh.
It's like one of the worst endings to a manga ever.
Jesus, really?
So yeah. Pretty, I guess the author is like a pretty. He's on a bit of a streak. He's like 3 for 3. It just like abruptly ends it. Makes no sense. No, it's just not even like an attempt. It's just like fuck this. Like on to the next. And you know, is already moving on to the next thing. So there's a lot of like upset fans.
That's tough.
So I'm now at this point of like, it's crazy because I just watched this phenomenal ending to this show that I love, you know, and I think about it like I cannot wait for the next season.
Yeah.
And it's like, do I read the manga? Do I debate it? No. Do I be patient and see like how the animation plays out? And now it's like I can't rush now. I just like, I know it's good now, and we're just gonna take it as long as we can.
Yeah.
And maybe we get a Bleach situation where they correct something at the end. Sure. In the anime, who knows? But no, it's, and I still, I know you got a lot on your plate. We have a 2025 is going to be a fucking huge year for us. Yeah. A lot of anime. I think you would really enjoy it. I think Sam would like it as well. It's just a good murder mystery, and the way they play with just the different types of mediums and media is really, really cool. It's just something I've never seen. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I'm mostly surprised that wasn't your number one, but yeah. Okay, I guess we'll get to it in a sec. So I've been going back and forth on this between my number two and number one spot.
Mm.
Number two, Elusive Samurai.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think like I just was really taken by the newness of it. Like, I guess, you know, you could maybe reduce it to a shonen, but I don't really feel like it's a shonen. Like, I mean, I guess if it has to fit a genre,
yeah,
it's probably like you could say it's a historical shonen or some bullshit like that.
Historical drama.
Drama might be more accurate. I don't know.
It feel, here's this. My take on it was it felt more Shonen Jump than a shonen.
Yeah, yeah, I don't disagree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I think it's how vivid and beautiful the colors are in the animation. I love the character design, and I think we remember, if I remember correctly, I remember saying it's historically accurate, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think like a dramatic animated retelling of historical events, especially when they're bloodied and they discuss like how empires came to power and things like that, I find that very interesting. And I think like making it into like a 20-minute digestible anime that stars a kid whose superpower is running away is like just like, it's a weird elevator pitch, you know what I mean? It's like, what is this? So yeah, like, it's like, shocker, I like another shonen. But on the other hand, it's like, this is just such a weird proposition for a show. And I found myself just getting sucked in by all the non-shonen-y type stuff about it. Like, I don't really care. The combat's fun and creative, but that's not really what drives the show, right? It's like the characters and what's happening and what are the consequences going to be of all these characters' actions? You know, will this come full circle? Is it going to be made, quote, right? I don't know. I really dug it. I like the vocal performances and above all the animation. Like when they're not drawing horses, the show is like just truly
good. I forgot what the horse is.
Yeah, but truly good, like, beautiful to look at. Like,
yeah.
The colors palette specifically is probably the, probably has the nicest color palette of the year. Like, in just terms of, like, the way they, it visually stuns.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really cool stuff.
Yeah, it was, that was another one too. That was on my, that was in my top nine. But, yeah. I, it's funny, like, the whole thing about the history, like, I've never seen a show take such liberties, like, staying, like, tight to the history, but take such liberties in between,
yeah.
And it all still makes sense. You're like, yeah. What the fuck? Like, the whole thing
they
with
do
the
some
guy,
weird stuff in the show.
The guy with the fucking, the ears, and the, he looks like a mouse, and the guy with, yep. Like, the, just, again, like, they're just playing around.
That's creative.
It's creative, but, like, they take him to, like, this guy was, like, a huge warlord and, like, was very successful, and he was a super famous archer, and, like, there's the scene where the guy's, like, mouth goes into someone's ear,
yep.
Or, like, is, like, talking into,
yeah.
It's, like, the, yeah, like,
they do
again,
weird stuff. They,
very weird. It's so good, though.
They switch styles often, they do, like, vignettes, yeah. They do, like, illusions, and they do, yeah, like, it's a, if you're an animation,
nerd,
yeah. Nerd, yeah. If you're an animation nerd or just generally passionate about that stuff, like, watch it. It's short. It's 12 episodes. Yeah. Again, you know, it's like
feels very wrapped up. More to come, but like, oh, yeah. You know, yeah.
It's, but it, but yeah, you can see a lot of different techniques being applied in a single episode mm-hmm. of Elusive Samurai than you might get in a season of television otherwise, or a season of a different anime, because yes. Just because they're doing so much off the wall stuff. So, yeah, I that was my number two.
Right on, man. My number one, let's see if you even remember me talking about this show. My number one is Astronaut.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I might have even seen one or two episodes of this.
I think you watched the pilot for me. I just watched it to see. It wasn't like an ask for the whole season or anything like that. It was just see what I was talking about.
Yeah.
It is, in my mind, the year's most... I understand why it was no one talked about it, or it was no one's year-end lists, or anyone's number one, or anything like that.
Sure.
You know, like, I get it, but this show was, it was pure imagination. I agree with you on Elusive Samurai, but to me, this was, like, the best use of color this year.
Sure.
No color on any spectrum went unused. Like, it was, they found a way to fit everything in a show that, you know, like, I love Slice of Life, and yeah. This is very much in my lane.
You are a Slice Boy.
So I am Slice Boy, but, like, this just, like, took it up a notch, and it's kind of similar to, like, what we were talking about Bleach earlier, but I would watch each episode, because, you know, it's meant, by design, it's an original story, it's meant to kind of feel like the shows of the 80s, mm-hmm. the 1980s anime, and that's nothing I have any association to, whether it's the time period or the anime right. itself. There's very little that's kind of, you know, been brought forward for us. Other than Gundam, maybe, I think that would be, like, the biggest one. Maybe Godzilla stuff.
Right.
But, like, at the end of every episode, the warmth and nostalgia I would feel is, like, that's, like, the goal of the show, is to present to you a time period and, like, the feelings and the motifs and bring it to, like, a modern-day story. And it completely knocked it out of the park. Like, you know, like I said, we were talking about the color. It's a silly and a goofy show, but at no point is it... not grounded, and this is a show that, you know, like, yeah, here, like, you know, like, it has, like, mecha battles, and, like, there's slapstick comedy, and, you know, middle school romance, adult romance, high speed chases, spooky movie nights, and, like, it has it all, and it does it all. Yeah. Like, it's not, what's the expression, like, jack of all trades, master of none.
It's not that. You just
no, like, it's not that. Like, it everything
a lot of home runs.
Everything it showed up to do, and like an archetype story, or like a trope, it did it to, like, the highest level. And it doesn't, like, it's not shooting for, like, an 11 out of 10 animation.
Right.
It's like, we're just going to hit you with, like, a 9 the whole time.
And
maybe we'll tip into a 10 for, like, the finale or something here. Like, it was just, it felt like a treat. Like, I feel like I was going crazy. And even the sadder thing is, the director... when the season finale aired, he made an apology that it wasn't more popular, that he's like, I wish there was something more I could have done.
Wow.
For everybody, like, you know, to watch, and, like, thank you for the experience to do this. Like, you know, all this stuff influenced me, and, like, he had been working in the 80s. He was working in that time.
Jeez.
It was just one of the saddest things I've ever seen. And, like, you know, I think it was, like, maybe, like, a, I don't know if it was, like, to the broadcasters or the producers or whatever it was, but, like, it seems so silly to me. But,
was that a Crunchyroll one?
It was on Crunchyroll, yeah.
Yeah, and 12 or 24 episodes?
12, yeah.
Nice, nice.
But I think this just, it was just a display of the power of the medium. You know, like, it's, if you have the passion, the imagination, you can create something this unique.
Yeah.
And heartwarming, you know, like, it's, you know, like space battles, and, like, there's just all this stuff. It's about, you know, like, you know, royal families fighting for the key to the galaxy, sure. And it's just kind of turning into a, like, a cat and mouse game, a hot and cold game on planet Earth, and a hostile, like, it's, Dave, it's, every week I was just like, I fucking hate, like, I just,
maybe
I hope
give
this
it another
is
spin.
It's, and you know, like, it's,
I didn't
it's,
know you liked it that much.
Oh, dude, I loved it. It was immensely loved it. It was just one of those things where, you know, like, you watch, like, and maybe it's not a good comparison, but, you know, you would watch, like, Parks and Rec, like, oh, this is, like, just, like, a perfect, like, I need something positive.
Yep.
You know, like, there's, you know, there's antics and there's, like, drama that can happen. And again, like, it's not, like, a one-on-one comparison by any means, but what I'm just trying to stretch is, like, there was just wholesomeness to the show. There was misunderstandings, but it was always, like, you know, like, you laugh at it, but it's, like, you know, we're all going to be, like, friends or whatever.
Sure,
and
yeah.
People are going to get to know each other. And it's about, like, loners and losers, and, like,
right.
You know, the, even a loner and loser has, like, a warmth and a, you know, spirit to them.
Comforting, warm, happy-making.
And it's not just, like, happy for the sake of happy. Like, they really get down to what is, like, wrong with someone, or, like, what is bothering them. Like, it's not, it's, you know, it's not, like, being political, but it's also, like, trying to, it's more of a human experience show, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, it's more akin to Odd Taxi than anything else I've seen in
I
recent
still
years.
Gotta watch that.
Yeah. Well, again, yeah. I think anyone that loved Odd Taxi, Astronaut is a different presentation, but it's a dead ringer in tone.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So thematically similar.
I think so. Yeah. Trying to say some things with in a way you might not have seen it.
I really didn't know. I didn't know that you had kept up with that one,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't know it was that high up, but that's a great little surprise.
Yeah. It was one where it was early enough in the year, I just kept thinking about it. Every new show that I love, I was like, Astronaut's still my number one. See another new show, loved it. I think Astronaut's still my number one.
Right,
just,
like, in
always,
your head, you're like,
yeah,
what,
I was thinking
what's
now.
Beat it?
Yeah, and there's been amazing stuff. Like, Bleach could have been one. Oshinoko could have been number one. But consistently through the year, me thinking about it, what they did with the color. Like, it just, you know, I just picture them. There's a scene with them making plum, or they find, like, plum wine in the basement. It's been fermenting for, like, 10 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, like, you know, like, what it is and explaining it. And you just learn more about the culture. And,
right.
Yeah, it's, yeah. I don't know. Really good stuff.
Okay. Astronaut, number one.
Yeah.
So mine is obviously Dan to Dan is the first one on your list.
Yep.
Yeah, I sort of went back and forth between that and Elusive. I don't know if we're going to say anything we haven't said before, but we should say it just for the sake of this specific episode. I think my reasons for are going to be... The reasons why it's my number one, most people who have seen it and like it will probably, it'll probably resonate with, right? Like, I just don't, I think there's a lot of, you know, like, see our list below. There's lots of, like, great shonens out there. There's lots of, like, coming of age stories out there. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I've seen one just executed in this specific way where it seems to have so many pieces that really come together really, really well. I don't think it's a perfect show. I've complained before that I find it, like, a touch horny. Like,
yeah.
But also, I don't know. That's one thing that we talk about every time we do talk about Dan to Dan is how oddly close it seems to represent the teenage experience of, like, just having a crush.
Yes.
Like, you know, not of fighting aliens, but, like, of just, like, having a crush, how difficult that is. Navigating social situations and circles and social hierarchies and trying to understand your place and, like, a student body, like, that's it's a little exhausting and daunting to think about. And then, you know, another guy enters the picture and you're threatened and you got to figure out how to play things. Like, that's, like, your first exposure, like, in, like, society is, like, in dealing with social challenges and when you have stakes because you have a crush on somebody. It's a very different kind of pressure that I remember. Like, I have so many memories of that. And it's just funny. I've never really seen them represented in this way, especially not in anime, right? Like, I don't really watch romance, period, in anime. But, like, yeah, I don't know.
And, you know, like, I would say, like, you know, when Leanne and I always make a point, like, every season to try and find, there's always one every season.
Right.
And, you know, we, like, right away we're quick to be like, nah, that's not, like, that is not the actual human experience from what I can tell. And, like, there's ones where they take a comedic take on it, or it's, like, older or younger. And there's just something refreshing about Dan to Dan in the way where they knock, like, all the bullshit in between is completely removed. Like, Momo is forward. Like, she is, like, she's to the point. She's like, no, how are you feeling? Like, she is not one to let Ken sit, like, not speak the unspoken. Like, what, his mind, you know? And he, on the, like, so that's, you know, that's kind of her archetype being thrown out. And then you have him, Okaroon, on the other hand, where he does have these feelings of jealousy, but, like, he's also, like, learning to have a friend for the first time. So the unique...
It's all brand new to him.
It's all brand new, and you can already see him, because he is emotionally intelligent, and he is already, like, you know, in the most recent episode, which we haven't even talked about, so we can kind of touch for a second, but, you know, like, all the stuff with Gigi, and he, like, realizes, like, oh, I'm gonna, like, distract him, like, as, like, as a tactic to fucking draw him away, and then Gigi shows interest, and he's, like, no one other than Momo has shown interest before, and, like, he's, like, not, like, seduced to, like, you know, like, oh, like, whatever, like, but it's just, it's all new and...
New and exciting and confusing and all, and, everything.
But it feels genuine. It just feels genuine, and that fucking shines, you know? And without the vocal performances to, like, really nail that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I've said it, like, every time we talk about Dan to Dan. Momo's VA is the best of the year. Anytime she, like, becomes loud and boisterous, like, it she just hits this tone and register. It makes me fucking laugh every time. She's, like, the second coming of Inosuke. In a completely different way. Right. But it's the same thing. You hear him giggle and cackle like a fucking maniac. It's an instant, like, I'm laughing. When she raises her voice in, like, not like an aggressive way, but when she gets loud, maybe it's just me because that's how I am. I just go from, like, a 4 to a 7, like, consistently. But, like, I don't know. I think it's the performance itself. I just really, really like. For whatever reason, just it sticks out to me.
I agree that she's good, but to your, like, further to that point, I think their chemistry is astounding. Like,
yes.
I think that's so, I mean, in live action, which we're going to talk about pretty shortly here, but in live action, but especially in animation, I think getting chemistry, especially anytime it's supposed to be romantic, is so difficult. Mm-hmm. And, like, like, the actors involved are, like, really representing what it's like to be, like, in a frustrating teenage, like, the early buds of a relationship and trying to figure out all that. And, like, it's funny because we've been talking this whole time about Dan to Dan, and we haven't talked about, you know, the power system and fighting the aliens and the, because, like,
it's all, so secondary.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. Like, that's the fun stuff. Because also, though, Dan to Dan's had some of my favorite sequences of the year, like this train fight against Turbo Granny and all these other amazing sequences with unreal music score in the background, and, like, really cool choreography and, like, team up mechanics and character moments woven into it, and all that is, like, literally as good as all these other shows are at doing that kind of stuff. But every time you talk about Dan to Dan, you end up talking about how endearing and sweet it is. Despite, like, all the, you know, all the, like, funny, like, kind of too horny moments that, sometimes land, sometimes don't. Like, at its core, it's about, like, two people's relationship. And, yeah, I don't know. I dig it. I think, like, they put out, like, a really, really good product. I'll watch that for a long time.
Yeah. If it's on, I'll be watching.
Yeah.
That's our top five, Dave.
That's our top five. Quick hitters. You have any honorable mentions?
Yeah, I do.
And we can't go long on them.
No. I'm not going to break down.
Yeah, they don't get a breakdown because they didn't make the top five.
Frieren, Shangri-La continued. You know, they were consistently good last year. Well, amazing last year and also amazing this year.
Yeah. If Frieren counts, it's on my list too.
Yeah.
And for the record, I also have Shangri-La.
There you go. There was a show, there's a show called Witch and the Beast.
Talked about that briefly.
It was like a one-off. It did not do well. Like, it was really good, a really good show. I really dug it. I was super into it. It was not well received. I immediately jumped into the manga. Awesome. Really good gothic horror reading. I watched that Train to the End of the World.
I think I watched that and Astronaut's pilot, like, back to back.
They came out the same week. Yeah,
right. Okay.
The journey was cool, didn't always work, and the ending was there, but, like, also I found recently the show was sponsored by a rail system in Japan.
That's kind of
the cold season with the train, so
and weird.
But it was, I think it was cool to see. It was something I'd never seen before.
Sure.
Metallic Rouge, probably my biggest disappointment in the year. I know it's not the same as an honorable mention, but two of the best opening and closing songs of the year.
Well, maybe let's mention this, because...
Do you want to do some dishonorable mentions?
No, I don't know about dishonorable mentions. I have them in my list as noteworthy exclusions.
Sure, yeah.
Last honorable mention I have is Kaiju number 8. That was fun. But also, just not quite... Yeah. You know, just not quite there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I just think it's interesting, just given, like, our history on the pod.
Sure.
And just, like, what we have covered historically. It is interesting that, like, Demon Slayer and Mushoku Tensei are nowhere to be found in any of these discussions.
Just not bad, but not overtly strong.
Yeah.
You know, like,
the final Demon Slayer episode was great. Everybody loves it. But, you know, I think when you're looking at, like, what did you do this year? What did you put out? Probably not the strongest year.
You know, 7 episodes of like gags and laughs. It can only take you so far when you're in the end game, right? Like, I know it's like they're working up to something, but still, it's no, I agree.
What about you?
More than Metallic Rouge, that was probably one of my most like anticipated shows of the year. It was a Wit Studio.
I remember you animation. Talking about it.
Again, the opening and closing are like probably two of my favorite songs of the year. Incredible, incredible vibes. And the T-Up episodes, the first 2-3 episodes, I was like, I think we got a fucking hit on our hands. And then it just like divulged into like, we're now fighting like this group of 9 people and they're the same as us, but we're different. And it's like, it's just like Blade Runner has done this. Ghost in the Shell, Akira, like all these series have like tackled like, what it is to be a human or not in a future society. I don't know. It was kind of disappointing because I thought they started off really, really strong.
Bummer.
And
sounds
then,
like the fall off that Ninja Kamui show had.
No, that was like...
No, I was kidding.
Yeah. Okay.
Apparently that was quite bad.
But, and I guess my last just shout out, Orb. It's not finished, so I didn't really bring it, but I think...
Orb on the Movements of the Earth?
I think it could have been in my top 10.
Sure.
But I didn't feel fair to judge it for when the first core hadn't even finished yet. And they had it was a full 24 episode run they're doing. Sure. So, but I think that's it for honorable mentions.
Okay. Let's do favorite OPs / EDs music.
I gotta, yeah.
Well, you're not allowed to do 2 minutes on each one. Cause then
no,
30
no.
of them.
Here, what do I got? 1, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14,
how do you 15, even know 16, that many 17, shows?
18, 19, 20. Dude, I got a master. I'm a list guy. I fucking, everything goes down. I make note. I got the playlist. Every show I watched in this year, its opening and closing is in a playlist that I listen to religiously.
I don't even listen.
You have one?
Oh I have God. 3.
Okay.
I have 3 and...
Well, I want to know what yours are more than what I want to tell
you. You're out of your mind. I have 3, and you know what I noticed?
What?
None of them are EDs.
Strong ED here, I gotta say.
Yeah, you would. okay, wow, that's so wild to me. And I know these are both gonna seem like cop-outs, but the 2 that I skipped, because I, as you know, and this is probably why I don't have any EDs in here, like I skip intros and I skip credits. I listen to them once, and then I skip, unless they are what I deem to be a certified banger, knowing that I'm both impatient and picky, and sometimes I just don't care.
Fair.
So with all that in mind, I've got Otonoke by Creepy Nuts, the Dan to Dan intro.
Why? Yeah.
Obvious.
It's a good one.
Plan A by Dish, which is the Elusive Samurai. Intro.
See? Yeah.
I loved it. I will note, though, because when we talked about this, you said, like, but also for overall vibe. Like, that's a good, that's a song made better by the animation that accompanies it.
I 100% agree.
And then the last one, which I didn't realize is the same guy, is Creepy Nuts again. Bling Blank, Bang Born.
Oh, for Marshall.
For Magic and Muscle. Because I didn't...
good. Awful.
We go to season 1 every now and again, and it's kind of fun. But we've never finished it. But I just saw that the OP for season 2 was super popular for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've like zoomed through it a few times. And
big hit in the morning.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that. Yeah. So, okay, those are mine. Jesus.
All right, if I had to pick 3, because you picked
3.
I'm going
to
force myself, because I'm going to make...
3 and a couple honorable mentions.
I'm going to put the playlist up. I'm going to do it like we did last year. We're
going
to post it.
Good
if anyone wants to listen, you'll see all the ones that I liked.
Great call.
What I was going to do, I didn't get a chance. We've been busy with the holidays. Because, you know, Corinne's my friggin' in the morning ride or die to school and work. I was going to ask her, like, what she would have assumed, like, the ones that I gravitate towards the most of, like, oh, don't skip this one. I want to hear this one. Because we were talking about it earlier, the Solo Leveling OP, I really like. A little bit of K-pop, a world I have no association to.
Oh, that's true. That was a different one.
I like that one.
Because they got, like, a big... Wait, what show got, like, One Republic?
Oh, that was Kaiju number...
Kaiju number eight.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
Yeah. Stupid. One Republic and Youngblood, I think, did the
Something
intro.
Something like that.
What do we got here? The Orb intro is the most recent, but, like, I love it. I really, really love that one.
Yeah.
And then... I don't know what it is, because it was, like, a whatever season, but the second My Hero Academia Core intro, I really dug that. It was by Yuri, I think.
Oh, you know what? I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, I really
don't disagree.
I really dug that.
My Hero is, like, hit and miss, I mean, both in plot, but also in just, like, their OPs. Like, some of them, over the years, they've put out some good ones.
Yeah, they've always got really good music.
And EDs. I think they might have stronger EDs a lot of the time.
I agree. If I can sneak another two more in, yep. Dave. Witch and the Beast had a banger OP.
Okay.
And I'll do a co-headline here. The Butchigiri OP and ED was another show that was debatably in my... it was in my top 10.
Okay.
It was honestly... I was going to put it on my number 5 because I knew Dan Dan was going to be talked about. But I felt like I needed to put Dan Dan in. And then Witch and the Beast, or sorry, Metallic Rouge, I think legitimately the opening closing are my favorite.
Oh, I remember when you pitched Metallic Rouge.
Vibes.
You five were, vibes, like, yeah. One of the, your strong points was, like, the music is wild.
Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah.
Dude, I'm looking forward to your playlist.
Yeah. I'll send it to you tonight.
You're out of your mind. You already have it made?
It's already ready to go. Yeah.
You're out of your mind. We'll put it, we've gone this whole time without plugging the socials, which must be a record, but... we will share Grant's playlist on Instagram. We'll probably put it in our highlights. It'll go up on the, you know, we'll make sure it's, like, noted somewhere for this post. But if you're not following us on Instagram, definitely do that. And also on Spotify and TikTok and YouTube and Apple Music and all those places wherever you listen and all that. We've got a couple more categories left. Let's do the last big one, I think, is probably live action.
Why don't we do live action stuff now, and then at the end we'll talk about what we're looking forward to.
Yeah, okay. So when we said live action, what's on your list? Is it shows and movies, or just movies, or just shows?
I made three columns because I'm me and I find a way to put more in. I did movies, TVs, and then
Two
games. I have games.
You're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah, it's just two. We're not getting into it. I just wanted to name them at some point.
But
movies, TVs, and games.
Okay, how about we do... Let's go back and forth on movies. I mean...
Ooh, okay.
Dune 2.
Not on mine, but...
not on yours.
Well, I was trying to limit myself to the top three. Our formatting and time. But it's definitely one of the best movies of the year by far. Yeah. And one of my favorites. The last movie I saw in IMAX until last night, but,
nice.
Yeah. The world is, and you know, I think if you were like to go through the history of our shows, our podcasts, I mean, and look up a recurring theme, you and I, like, we're pretty horny for scale and, like, scale done correctly. And I think Dune is, like, nothing since Lord of the Rings has, like, kind of nailed what it is doing. But
awesome. Dune 2 was unreal.
The memes were awesome for Dune 2. So,
what do you got? Give me one of yours.
I got three as well. So probably my number one for the year is Godzilla Minus One.
That's my number two.
There we go. All right. I've seen this three times this year. Yeah. Once was the colorless version, the black and white version, which I recommend.
I saw that.
It's on Netflix.
Oh, well, why did I see the one with color? Anyway, whatever.
No, it came out first, and then they put out the minus one color a couple months ago. But
I didn't know that. Okay.
Just like, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum, you know, on and off mic. I fucking love Godzilla movies. And it's been a long time where... you know, I think the legendary picture ones kind of, like, overshadowed, like, I think what Godzilla really is. Yeah. You know, like, at the root of it and the heart of it, and there is very little heart in those movies, and this kind of just went back to telling, like, a borderline, like, an incredibly depressing story of kamikaze pilot. It was just like a story I have never seen in a Godzilla movie before.
So creative, such a fresh new take. How do you not give it to him?
Yeah, and just like it's like,
and not to mention the, sorry to cut you off, not to mention the whole Academy Award thing, a team of fucking 12 people, like,
yeah,
major what, come from behind victory, crazy
what they did with their budget, and you know what you see on screen.
Yeah,
like, and also too, like, nothing, like, you know, call it cheesy or whatever, like, you know, it's, or schlock, it's not that, I think it's just of, like, the style, but there's some, like, devastating scenes,
yeah,
big scale and small scale, that I haven't seen in a long time,
yeah,
even outside of a Godzilla. There's the scene where, like, there's just, like, a blast, the whole town, like, is, like, destroyed at one point, at the midpoint of the movie, and I was like, that is, like, fucking terrifying. Like, could you imagine being in a situation? I don't know. Yeah. The brought to life, the realization of the world, I think, is dynamite.
Yeah, pun intended. Yeah. Last one.
Mm.
Late replacement, Nosferatu.
Fucking A, dude.
So Grant and I saw it last night. We were talking about it off mic before we hit record. I don't know if we'll end up talking about it in a future episode in more depth.
I would like to. I'd like to.
Yeah, but I mean... But, you know, at the time of recording, it's obviously in theaters. We're not going to mention any spoilers.
No.
But everything you're hearing, and from what I'm hearing, the critical reviews are quite positive, and I would say they're all pretty bang on. The major standouts for me, and I'll let Grant jump on this, is are the performances by Bill Skarsgård, Lily Rose Depp, and the cinematography. And just, I'm not a horror movie guy, so I'm not the authority on this stuff, but... how it's shot, and just how ballsy it is. I don't know. It's just so classic and so modern at the same time. I don't quite understand how he did it.
My understanding is it's a more or less one for one to the original.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Just with, you know, like a arm lens and this and that. But
it's unbelievable. It's unbelievably made.
The world, too. Like, I think there's, like... the opening set, there's like an opening set piece in like almost like a grayscale coloring.
Oh god, the snap of the title card scene.
Yeah, and but like, and then when you finally get into the town, like in Germany, or once you realize you're in Germany, and he's like kind of cutting through the streets, you're like, this is like, I feel like I'm watching There Will Be Blood, or I'm watching,
sure,
you know, Gangs in New York. Like, the effort has gone into this. Like, it felt very tangible. I feel like I could, like, reach out and grab it, you know? And not to say, like, majority of movies are all, like, CG, but it's either, nowadays, it's either, like, a COVID movie where it's, like, used, made in Atlanta somewhere.
Sure.
Or, you know, in Florida. Or Vancouver, sorry. And then, but this felt like a place. Like, you know, where it was filmed, I don't know. But it's just, I feel like the entirety of the movie, even when they're in the woods of Transylvania, or they're here or there, like, I felt like I was there, you know?
Yeah, it's just, I had the feeling that I've had with you, like, multiple times, or that I'm sure other people can relate to, is you watch the movie, and then your thought after that is, like, what else has this director made? What else can I go see by the person who made this film? Because this person, like, gets it, whatever their vision was, like, it worked for you. You know, it's the feeling I had after I saw Arrival with Denis Villeneuve. I was like, I need to inhale everything he's made.
Mm-hmm.
Or Robert Eggers in this case. But yeah.
This is his fourth, and I've seen them all. I love them all.
Yeah, he's
one. Yeah, really, really good.
Do you have one remaining?
I would have two.
Go ahead.
Just quickly, we talked about it a lot at the time. Poor Things. I really enjoyed
talking about a world and
bring it to life, and
outstanding
and
movie.
The physicality of it, the Mark Ruffalo was dynamite.
Oh, God.
And you know, so Emma good. Stone. Emma Stone obviously was like the standout. Again, Willem Dafoe crushing.
Oh yeah.
I think Willem might actually be one of my top five favorite actors.
Yeah, I mean, the run he's on right now.
Yeah,
just pretty great.
Cracked. Yeah. But Poor Things, and then The Substance. Another movie I've seen quite a bit.
I gotta see this one. I haven't seen it yet.
Just like body horror supreme, like just very schlocky and gross, and like just
this in my life. But it looks so good. That's the problem. The trailer's so good. Trailers aren't this good anymore.
No, this and the soundtrack too. There's like a recurring motif of like an EDM, like a like that they use, and it kind of evolves and comes in at different points in the movies. I think it's, you know, I love horror movies. I love, you know, the sub, like as many majority of the subgenres. Devil stuff freaks me the fuck out though, but anyway, it's neither here nor there. But I think it's a really good movie. It's like a huge success story, smallish indie, just crushing. Demi Moore is
yeah, been a long time since she's had a big movie.
Something like 20 years she's been not in a major blockbuster movie, and she's incredible in it. Just like very like lays it all out, no pun intended. Like it's. Ugh. It's
who directed this? It's okay if you don't
know. I think it's a French name. I don't have it right in front of me.
And is it Margaret Qualley?
So she plays. She's the I guess the co-lead, if you want to call it that.
Sure.
But I've seen that three times as well.
Oh my goodness, because that's on VOD now, streaming or like
it is. Yeah. Well, I got lucked out because Mubi, the streaming service, bought the right. They own it.
Okay.
It's like a curated channel. It's like Criterion. And they bought it out of whatever festival, and they were doing, when it premiered, they were doing a free week. So I was like, okay, I'm going to check that. But it's like a $20 a month subscription. So I watched it as much as I could, and then I rented it because I was like, I want to hear this. I want to see it again.
Okay.
But yeah, really, really dug that.
Nice. All
right.
Oh. TV? Oh, wait. Yeah, TV. Television now. Do you want to do televisions?
Yeah. Did you have any more movie stuff or
no? I somehow poor thing slipped my mind. I saw that in theaters as well, and it was outstanding. Yeah, so like I it's funny we're more aligned on movies than we were anime, but okay, live action shows. I've got three or four.
I got three.
Okay, I'll trim one because mine barely the fourth one does, or I'll mention at the end. But number one, these are less, you know, I didn't take the top five ranking is seriously for the live action stuff. It's more like what were the best of the year.
Yeah, so I was just, they're not clear in order.
Yeah, exactly. But one of my favorites of the whole year, regardless of medium, was Ripley with Andrew Scott.
Oh, really? Okay, I didn't think you'd open with that.
Yeah, I know. It's I watched it on my own, and the black and white thing, and the cinematography in Italy, and that Andrew Scott guy. Whew.
He is good.
Yeah, I there's something you know, I don't know, thrillery, I don't, it like satiated something I've like been wanting for a while, and it was a great little miniseries, and I recommend it.
I loved, whether it was intentional or not, this for me again, like I don't know if that was the intention for all viewers, but for me personally, I wanted him to fucking get caught.
I know.
I was like, this guy is a fucking rat.
I know.
And he deserves everything he gets, you know, or like, you know, like whatever's coming to him, he deserves. And it was like, he just keeps, you know, like just always finds just a way,
barely,
always
just barely gets,
just always has the right thing to say. You know, it's just, I don't know. I thought it was, the execution on the character was incredible. And once they introduced the detective, I was like, this show is cooking again.
Yeah. So I remember you told me that, because I, for the record, I felt like pretty much the same way in that, like it was good, but
slogged in the middle.
It got then it dialed up when the detective came in and he kind of put the juice on everything. But I really loved it, and I was like, yeah, like these are the types of stories that I'm interested in, etc.
Yeah.
What about you?
Oh. Shogun.
Yeah, I got Shogun too as well.
Yeah. just what a marvel! Like, you know, like that's that's big budget TV done right.
Ryoko Sanada, Anna Sawai.
Anna Sawai, awesome. Awesome.
Wild. And did those Emmys already air? Did they already... They both won already, right?
Yeah, I think they cleared up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the most recent Emmy.
Yeah, it was. I'm 90% sure they already did it and won. And, I mean, you know, and there's more coming.
Talking like John Blackthorne was the most fun I've had for, like, the weeks I was watching the show.
we've booked a trip. as you know, off mic, but every time I tell somebody that we're going, is we're going to the Japans.
I am a sailor.
Yes, I'm here to rescue my men.
I am owed what I am given. He's doing now. We're just doing freaking data plan.
Yeah.
Shogun was, you know, it's kind of nice. Like when everyone's watching The Good Thing, you know, it's not like you're. you know, whether it's like Severance or, you know, like where you feel like there's just a pocket of people are like, oh, like we got this awesome, amazing thing here. And like everyone was watching Shogun. Everyone was talking about it. No matter where you went or who you talked to, the conversation was getting brought up. It was fun. It felt the most akin to Game of Thrones in a while.
I agree with that.
Yeah, it was nice.
It's a brief and interesting cultural phenomenon and moment.
Water cooler.
Yeah. Okay, last one on mine, and then you'll understand my honorable mention. Okay. But my last one, I think, will also maybe be a little random. But I don't know if it's like the best of the year. It's just I loved it so much. I had so much fun watching Parasite the Grey.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
that South yes. Korean yes, yes. Netflix adaptation of Parasite the Maxim, the anime.
Yep. Yep.
But it is not a one-to-one adaptation. The characters are different. The plot's different. Everything is different. It's just in the same universe. And it makes sense. And it was made by the guy who did Train to Busan. Mm-hmm. It was only like 6 episodes or something. Perfect length. If you're a fan of that anime, I think that you would really, really like the live action adaptation.
Check out both, but I've been wanting to get back into, or I've been wanting to check out Parasite since Squid Game's been brought up. I've been thinking about if I'm going to watch that, I should probably watch Parasite first.
Yeah.
I'll just get through mine quickly. Presumed Innocent, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh man, I've been trying to watch that.
You haven't started or
no,
like you have? Oh,
you know, Sam. God, man.
I started episode one and I went to bed at episode 7. Like I could not. It was just like, this is such a good thriller.
That good.
A reimagined. Yeah, dude. It's really good. He's awesome. It's not like, I find these shows, they can kind of crux too much on like this episode has this like twist. Like it's not the whole series was building up to like something, whether it's a twist or not,
right.
or it's obvious or this and that. I thought it was just handled. It was not treating like it was less trashy airport novel.
Yeah.
It was more like they went like half prestige, or they went like prestige on it, but like they didn't like bang you over the head of like, look at us, like we're an Apple show. And like it felt very true to like a court movie. Everything it was trying to tackle, like genre wise, like the court stuff, the, you know, kind of like the erotic thriller, like it just,
sure.
it did them well, you know, like it wasn't trying to blow one out over the other or too much of one thing. I thought it was a very, very all around really good show. And just, he's so good. He's so captivating on screen. Like
Jake Gyllenhaal's
everything.
Unbelievable.
He's so good. And
he was on that run for a while there. And then he started, you know, he took like, you know, the Marvel movie and then like Roadhouse with Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
And like, he's cashed a couple paychecks here recently.
Yeah.
But then everybody wouldn't shut up about Presumed Innocent. And I was like, yeah, he's back on it.
Yeah, it's really good
for him.
And then lastly, Slow Horses. It's the fourth season aired this year.
It's Gary Oldman, right?
Gary Oldman, yeah. They do the whole model of they shoot 2 seasons back to back. And then they put them out like 6 months apart. So I think technically season 3 was also this year as well.
Nice.
Earlier in the year. But it's just good spycraft. Mm-hmm. Really, really, Gary Oldman is like the ultimate bastard.
Spycraft. Why don't I watch this?
Yeah, dude, I think, yeah. Honestly, man, everyone should. Oh, you know what? I was actually sending it to my brother today because I'm trying to get my brother to watch Severance. Apple's doing a free weekend January 4th.
Oh, right. Probably in anticipation of Severance, I'm assuming.
Yeah. So anyone who's listening, if you don't, get the free. There's some really good stuff on there. Like, better than everyone else. Like, it's really good.
Yeah. They're getting to the point where their catalog's getting a little bit bigger. That if you got yourself a free trial or something, there's like a lot to choose from. My honorable mention, it's a bit of a cop out, but it's because I was so late to it. But it still counts because we're in season 2 now, is White Lotus.
Oh,
even
nice.
Though season 3 is literally around the corner,
imminent,
we're still gonna try and be done for season 3, and if not, we might be a little bit late.
Doable.
But yeah,
that's February now,
I
think.
If it's February, then I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, we love season 1 so much. Took a brief break and watched, I don't know, maybe something later. I can't remember what.
Mm.
But now we're back into season 2.
Nice.
And it's fantastic.
Right on.
Okay, this, my friend, brings us to, I believe, our last category.
Yeah, anticipation.
Most anticipated 2025. I only have a few things here.
I did some research, but there's... I just wanted to make... My goal here is to make note of things well in advance for
so that,
you.
Yeah.
So when it comes up, you're not caught by surprise when I'm like, hey, Dave, you check this out.
Yeah.
I'm doing the work.
Okay, well, I'm going to get one out of
yeah.
the way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Lazarus. Where the fuck is this show?
They say it's coming this year.
We'll see. Go ahead.
I think the obvious one is Sakamoto Days. I got to hit up top with that.
Number two on my list for the record.
Yep. Okay. What do you got next?
After that, you're gonna
nothing.
After that, I have other stuff.
Yeah.
They're all sequels. I realized it. I was like, oh, it's all CS. So do you want to know?
It's a heavy sequel year. Yeah, hit me with all of them.
Solo Leveling Season 2. That's
got
been announced.
Yeah. Sure.
Dan to Dan Season 2 announced.
Summer. Yeah, Solo Leveling is next week, by the way.
Holy shit, really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's actually...
The 6th? So yeah, that'd be a week and change.
Wow. Yeah. Airing it on the day of the
insurrection. Literally a week today.
It's wild. okay, wow. So that's actually quite exciting. And I've got room on the plate, so that's fine. And Dan to Dan in June or July.
June, yeah.
And then the next two are question marks, because I don't know, you'll probably know, if either are confirmed.
Mm.
Demon Slayer movie, question mark?
Yes.
Sometime.
Yep.
Let's hope we get it in the West in a timely fashion. And I don't know, do you know 2025 Chainsaw Man movie, the Rezart?
Yes, that is supposed to be this year as well.
Okay, so if we get both those movies and then Lazarus, Sakamoto Days, Solo Leveling, Dan to Dan,
that's
great.
Dr. Stone is in 2 weeks.
Love it.
The new season.
Love it.
There's this show by MAPPA called Zenshu. It's an original story.
No.
I guess the whole conceit is a manga artist or an animator works herself to death. In which the irony of
based off the real events of the behind the scenes Jujutsu Kaisen,
and it's an isekai story, and she enters the world that she was animating, her favorite story that she's yeah. So there's that
dark. That sounds interesting.
So here's my second swing on a mobile suit show for you.
Here we go.
There's Mobile Suit Gundam GQ, like 6U's X. It's a very silly name. It's like a underground mobile suit. Like underground fighting thing.
Okay.
But it is creative director and head director is the assistant for all of Neon Genesis and the director of the end of Evangelion.
Jeez Louise. And they have direct mobile suit experience, obviously. Or mech.
Next. So that's, I think that's a very interesting one to keep an eye out for.
Curious.
Kaiju number 8, season 2.
Oh, yes. I forgot to put that one on my list.
Spy Family season 3 is in October. One Punch Man Season 3 is apparently coming this year.
Yep, saw those.
Windbreaker Season 2. Actually, you know what? I should have mentioned that on the honorable mentions. That was a good show.
That you finished that, show. Season 1?
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, you're mine.
The ZOM 100 studio, Bug Films, is doing the adaptation of Witch Hat Atelier, which has been one of the most fan-requested, why has this not been made yet? Very in the vein of Frieren, tone-wise, magical, and whatnot, but it kind of looks like cute on the surface, but there's some pretty big layers underneath.
Interesting.
This one stuck out to me. It's like half rom-com, half murder mystery. Very dark, apparently. It's called The Summer Hikaru Died, and main character's best friend seemingly dies and is the next day is he's there, but he's clearly being replaced by something or someone, visually looks like him. It's summertime rendering vibes.
Sure.
When I saw the trailer, and then so I had Chainsaw Man, Demon Slayer movie. There's this movie called Virgin Punk coming out. It looks like an assassination story. It screamed modern Ghost in the Shell.
Okay.
More cyberpunk than Ghost in the Shell.
Sure.
But yeah. So that's 2025 as a whole, but imminently, the winter 2025, like you said, we have Solo Leveling, Sakamoto Days, My Happy Marriage Season 2. That was one that Leah and I really, really liked. I tried to pitch that one to you at 1.2.
Mm.
Dr. Stone Season 4, and then that Zenshu starts this week as well. But, yeah, we're getting right into it, man. 2025, let's go. I love winners.
And, this is not anime, but, in terms of anticipation, Severance, I know we just touched on it.
I think that's the big one.
Yeah. That's, giant. I've been watching, the Severance Season 1 is hitting the reactors circuit heavily right now, because they're smart, right? They know that people are trying to rewatch, and it kind of saves you rewatching it yourself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm really, really, really excited for that.
God. Man.
Yeah. What a year it's been. Fuck. And we got video done this year.
We did it.
We're here.
We did a Berserk manga review.
Yeah, we expect more of that in 2025. Yeah. Grant and I both have part two sitting somewhere in our homes. I'm maybe halfway through it. But I tend to go through them pretty slowly. But every time I pick it up, I'm like, oh my God, this is so good. Yeah. So yeah, there will be another like dedicated review for part two of the deluxe edition. And we'll go at our own pace for that. And then in between, you know, we'll be reviewing a lot of the shows that we've mentioned in the anticipated section and whatever else tickles our fancy and whatever else comes up. I think we're good. Any last notes, Grant?
I just want to say thank you to everyone listening. Thank you for, you know, listening before, but thank you for watching. We know people are watching. It's nice to see that. And shout out to all the people all around the world listening, not just, you know, people we know in our home country and, you know, friends of friends and family of family kind of thing. It's nice to see that people listen and do care. Please comment more. We love that. Reach engagement. Out to us. We love engagement. Ask, you know, we like questions. Recommend, you know, tell us your top year shows at the top and stuff you're looking forward to. But I just want to say Happy New Year and thank you to everyone.
Well put. Happy holidays, happy new year. Thank you for listening. Grant made a good point about being all over the world. Every time we see the Spotify Wrapped thing, we're like, oh, look, it's not just our neighbors and mothers and wives listening. You guys are all over the place, and that's really, really cool. So, here's to more improvements in 2025 and lots more cool stuff. Thank you again for listening, and we will see you in the new year. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Wait. No. Grant said it. Cheers. It's the first time I messed that up.